Welcome to The Watchman, a great teaching about Bible prophecy and everything you need to know about the times we live in. For the coming of the Lord is sooner than you think. And now, here is The Watchman.
Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. We bless your name. We thank you for the wonderful things that you've revealed to us, that you do in us, that you work through us. We thank you, Father, because you teach us your ways, that we shall walk in them. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you, because we are progressively growing in a relationship with you. I thank you, blessed Father, in the name of Jesus, for each and every person in this place, and for the wonderful word that you have for each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. The worship before is to prepare your heart for the word. Otherwise, it is so easy for every word that is spoken to fly right over your head, and you don't get a single thing that is said of it. You kind of understand it at some stage, but you go home and you ask yourself, like, it does not sink. And the sinking we are talking about is not in the memory, but it's a way that you just become the word that is preached. I don't know how better to explain that. Okay, so praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 1 verse 9 says, "For this reason, we also, since the day we heard of it." Okay, let's start from verse 3, just for purposes of perspective. "We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you." Verse 4, "Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of all your love and your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven." Because since we heard of your faith, of your love, and of your hope. Okay? Now there abides faith, hope, and love. "Hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the world of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you as it has also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth." First, keep it there for purposes of that. Now, he says, it is producing, bringing forth fruit ever since, as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew of the grace of God in truth. Now, you see, the honest truth is, in as much as at some stage, you know, this thing, a lot of people used to fight grace, you know. There's some place I went to say, I went to preach, and they told me, here the pastor does not like, don't even mention the word grace in any form whatsoever. Even if you're saying the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, once he has grace, he takes off. I didn't go there, because I can't be in a place where they give me conditions or what to talk about. I can't be in a place where they give me conditions on what to say. So, even if this is not what I want to talk about, the truth is, when people know and understand the grace of God, that's when they start bringing forth fruit. Before that, even if there is no fruit that can come, when your gospel is still based on the knowledge of good and evil. Do you understand? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil is where, for the most part of our salvation, we are hung. This is right, this is not right. This is wrong, this is wrong. And you stay in a place where you are just at the knowledge of the tree, you know, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So you update yourselves on what is good, what is evil, and what, but there is no tree of life. You've not tasted of the tree of life. And then you're just like Adam and Eve, your fathers and mother. Like, there's a tree of life, you eat of it, you don't have to know what is good or bad, you are in life. You understand? Now, people even, in so many other things, you can eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For instance, before some nutritionist came and started telling you what foods are good and bad for your body, you were on the tree of life, and you were not even sick. Until somebody comes and puts you on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So they tell you, don't eat this, don't eat the skin of the chicken, it is white as what, they don't eat this, then don't eat that. And then somehow you come from life to the knowledge of good and evil. And in everything there is that. Because there is a place where you can be and somehow life flows through you naturally and you don't even know how, but you are eating of the tree of life from the source of God. Praise the Lord. Now the reason I cannot go to a place where they tell me, because they put you on in a place of the knowledge of good and evil. So you come and you're ministering, but with something in your mind other than, you know, what other than the consciousness of what the Holy Spirit wants to talk about. Now any other consciousness just kills everything. And you can come and talk. If somebody came, for instance, came and told me, want you to speak on this subject, I will say, I'm not speaking on any subject. If you want me to speak, you have to take what I have to say. And whatever it, because if you give me a subject, then you've taken the Holy Spirit out of the occasion. You understand? Eh? Okay. Now, to tell you how intense these things can be, for instance, the Colossians chapter 1 verse 9, here when I was praying is when the Lord put it in my spirit. I did not come knowing I'm going to preach from Colossians chapter 1 verse 9. The Lord is my witness. He just put it in my spirit right now. Now imagine if somebody has put other things in your head. Amen? And now the thing is, those things which he puts in and just kind of takes control to show that he's in control, even when you seem to think that you have some things prepared. So, and he's bringing forth fruit as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. Okay? There is truth that is current. You know that thing shocked me when I first saw it? In the present truth. In I think 2 Peter chapter 2. He says, you are updated in the present truth. Now there are things which were truth at some stage. Praise the Lord. But at now, the period right now, they are no longer truth. Not that they became lies, but they are no longer, they can no longer bring forth fruit. Do you understand? Now there was a time when there were people whom we used to listen to before. There was a time somebody came to me, must have been very broke today. I was seated down somewhere drinking a cup of coffee today. And he came with a book by Creflo Dollar, 8 Steps to Walk in the Fullness of God or something like that. Now, I love that man so much and I totally respect him because he's a son of the great Kenneth Hagin. But he himself would not teach those things that were in the book now. Do you understand? Because that was a truth for another time. Because truth is progressive. So, in everything, even in learning, even in what, everything is progressive. Now, the reason people get to a stage and they can no longer exceed it is because they do not update themselves with the present truth. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 4. There is a present truth. So it means there was a truth which was true. It does not say lies. There was a truth which was true some time ago, but is no longer applicable today. Praise the Lord. Now that is true in everything. That is true in business. That is true in IT. That is true in politics. There is a way you would get elected long time ago. Now it may not work now because it's not present true. Now it's also true in the word of God. You say that the word of God is eternal. It's eternal for everybody. It's eternal for children who are just getting saved. So it has to cater for everybody. Now imagine how powerful and wide that is. Whereas the same book has to cater for somebody who is at this level, somebody who is at this level. Imagine reading the same textbook from P1 up to PhD. The same textbook. People who are doing PhD are reading it. People who are in P1 are reading it. And now that textbook has to cater for all of them. Now how can anybody believe that it's a human work? You understand? Like how can it be a human work? When it was written 2000 years ago, the last book about 95 AD, Revelation, which was the last book in the Bible and also in the chronology of their writing. But it's still relevant today when so many things, who still reads Shakespeare? Yet he was a very powerful man, wasn't he? Yeah, but he was 18th, 17th century. He's no longer applicable. He's not present truth. The other writers today like Joseph Kableta, you know, I'm joking. Okay. But you understand, eh? No matter how powerful the work, if it is not like breathed by the Spirit of God, it, Its time runs out. The Bible can never run out. Imagine up to now people are still quoting it. 2,000 years. Knowledge has increased. Everything has increased. People have made things, everything, but still the same book. And by the still the same bestseller every year for 400 and something years. Can you imagine that? Actually, one man who was an atheist said he changed just because of that. He said, how can one book 2,000 years, books which were powerful in the 1970s, you cannot present them to anybody right now because they have been developed on and made, you know, bigger things have come up. Now, 2,000 years, the man said, no, there's something because you cannot deny it. Number one, it is the world's bestseller every year, every single year, for that year. You understand? So that means 2018, the best-selling book in the world was the Bible. And that was true for 2017, 2016, and that is, it has been true since 1411 when they first translated it into English. For 400 and something years. It's still the best. Now, okay, present truth. Eh? Now, there is a way I used to pray before, to try and acquire things before. Then God presents to you something which is different, which is a present truth. So I was telling somebody that, now, like even in business, in your operations, if you do not know how to engage the spirit, if you don't know how to engage the spirit, the other day somebody was telling us, a lawyer, she's here, who was telling us how she wanted to do it, then she engaged the spirit, and she got results. Now, when you don't know how to do those things, you are going to be held back in truth, which was of yesterday, of praying for something which God expects you to just change. You understand? Like, you have the power. Now, it is in you. Just do it. Now, God expects you to go and dominate your boss and tell him, I'm going to get a promotion whether you want it or not. You understand? Now, you're praying for the promotion because you want to pass on to God what he has passed on to you. Amen? So, he has given it to you. I've given you that power. Now, go and do it. God, when he delegates authority, he delegates it and he gives it. And by the way, he does not ever take it back. Do you understand? So now he says, so you pray and he's looking at you. He's looking at you and he's saying, what's wrong with this guy? Just do it. Go and command him. Speak to him. Now let me tell you, if you are dealing with somebody who is not born, now let me tell you, the world is spiritual. And everybody has spirits. Even those who are not born again. They have a spirit. Now, when their spirit is not regenerate, or it's not a born-again spirit, it acknowledges you as the boss in the spirit realm because you come with the image of Jesus. Do you understand? So it doesn't matter what somebody is in the natural realm. If you're born again and he's not, when you meet at that level, you are his boss. He might be president, what? But when you meet at that, if his spirit does not have the Holy Spirit, you tell him what to do. At that level, not here. Eh? So why do I struggle here when I can go there and be the boss? Praise the Lord. Now you're going to say, how do you go there? When you can actually go there and be the boss and say, I want this, I want this, I want this and this done. You know, somebody was telling me how there was this lady who had a serious issue because she had never held down a job and not through the want of trying. There are people who never hold down jobs because they are not interested. They are, you know, all over the place. But this person who really wants to work, but somehow something crops up and she loses her job immediately. So now, she got a prophetic word and from this same person and he told her, now go and this time you'll get a job and keep it. But of course, there was a lot of fear. Now, because a word has been issued, she went, but still they were playing games with her, not giving her salary. Okay, she not even have a bank account. So she didn't have money. So she said, requested to be paid by check. So that she goes and opens a bank account in those names and so that to get some money to start. And wasn't even a lot of money. So she said, now the bursar is tossing me. She was a teacher. The bursar is tossing me left, right, center. What? So this guy told her, what's the bursar's name? So she told him the name. Now he just went and the best time to do these things is at night. Very late in the night when you expect the other person to be sleeping. Because when they are sleeping, their mind is not what? Is not active. The only part of them which is active is the spirit. And that's what you're dealing with. Okay? So in the night, he spoke to the person and said, so and so, call them by name. Make sure tomorrow you give that lady her payment without fail. The next day, then he told the lady, don't worry, tomorrow she's going to pay you. He said that even before he had commanded her, but he knew what he was going to do. So he said that, commanded her in the spirit, make sure you give that person the money tomorrow. The next day, the bursar, by the time she arrived at school for her first lesson, they told her the bursar has been looking for you. But because she had lost so many jobs, she still wasn't sure. She said, maybe they are firing me. When she reached there, her check was ready. She said, I've been looking for you today. Gave her a check. She had been chasing her for more than 3 weeks. And the woman is playing hard to get. But there is a level where the boss is clear. You understand? Yeah, and even at that level, even if you're born again, if somebody is of a higher spiritual rank than you, you cannot mess them up. You can't mess them up. I've had people trying to do those things of what? Especially, you're trying to possess somebody, and you do that thing of, let's say, a dude whom you like. So you try to go for him in the spirit and mess him up. people tried that on me when I was single, but none of them was at my level. So they were coming, and I would see them from a distance. And actually, you see it from a distance, but they can't touch you. They are ranks, you understand? You can't mess up. You can't mess me up unless you're somebody with really honest truth. So you see, and you know somebody is trying to mess you up. And then you look and say, you'd stand a better chance if you told me, come and I go and buy you cappuccino. Anyway, I'm joking. But that doesn't mean me, I can't mess you up. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. But anyway, I'm telling you, but anybody who is not born again, regardless of their earthly rank, when you go to the spirit, you are the boss and you can do it. And by the way, you try it, you'll see. Like the thing is, people will come and say, come and do this for me. But everybody has, anybody who is not born again, anybody. You don't have to come to somebody to chase your boss. You don't. You can do it yourself. You don't have to come to overturn decisions which are made by people who have a lower rank. You don't. You can do it yourself. And it works. I'm trying to teach you something. Because people are looking for solutions which God has put inside them. And the solution is inside you. And God has given you that authority. And you're looking for it somewhere else. And at the beginning, but see, the spiritual things you have to practice. If, for instance, you go and put your papers in for a tender, and I do this, who is the decision maker? Who makes the decision? I want to know a name. Not when I'm putting tenders, because I have never done that. For some reason, I moved from employment to this. But what's the name of the decision maker? And I tell you, he's called Akena John Paul. Then you say, thank you very much. Then you go at night and even ask, is he born again? But no, he's not. But by the way, even if he's born again, you can discuss at night in the spirit. And say, but you man, I'm also born again. Why don't you give me that thing? And say, but why don't you give it to me? Instead of giving it to a what? To a heathen. Give me that tender. And we build the glory, the kingdom of God. Then you wake up in the morning and go there and you see the person's, something has changed about them. They seem to be like as if even they know, you can talk as if you even know somebody, but you've never met them physically, but you somehow spoke in the spirit. And when he looks at you, he says, your face is familiar, and he has never seen you. But you know, the thing is, and the present truth is that we are spirits. Do you understand? We are spirits, and we have to bring out that part of us. Because the fall brought men were created in a way where they commune with God all the time. So God comes and speaks to Adam. Even when Adam falls, he speaks to him. He even speaks to Cain and Abel. Even Cain, he's talking to him. All the way he's talking to people. Now that's how we're created. But you see, we're created with spirit at the forefront and the soul somewhere in the middle and the body at the very bottom. Now what the fall produced over a period of time is the bodies become ahead. And then the mind is the place where all decisions are made. Now the spirit is totally, completely relegated. Now, when you read the Bible and you read it with your mind, it does not make sense. But it was not written for your mind or even to your mind. It was written to your spirit, because the person who wrote it was spirit. So if you want to, now that's where people get offended, because if you want to understand it intellectually, it cannot make any sense intellectually, and it was not meant to. So you have to switch on your spirit, or progressively train your spirit to be at the forefront, and therefore see things in a spiritual way. And then that will help you. Okay, for this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. So there is present. Okay, now let's go back to Colossians chapter 1, where, start from verse 3 again. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints. Okay? Because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you, and it has also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. That's when you started producing fruit. Okay, if you have. As you also learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. Okay? Now, remember Paul says, we heard of your faith, we heard of your hope, we heard of your love for the brethren. Now then he says, we heard of your love for the Spirit. Now, he's bringing it forth. He's bringing something forth. By the way, let me tell you, when you progressively, and there was the other weekend, last weekend, I was in Hoima. Now, there are this group of people whom I wanted to do some work with, whom I'd engaged to do a certain piece of work with. So I went, and I went among them, and I was expecting us to discuss with one of them progress in a certain thing. Now, they were in a group. So they just come out of watching a football match, and I just came and stood there, and they were talking about the football match. But then suddenly I knew everything they said about me when I wasn't there. Like I just knew everything. It was all summed up in a bit like this, what they said about me when I wasn't there. So they were expecting me to bring up the subject we were supposed to discuss, but already had the answer. So I told them I'm coming back, and in a few minutes I was driving back to Kampala. Because I knew the answer. Now, the thing is, it's not easy to know from a distance. But once you come near people, you know what this one thinks about me. You know what, you can tell this person despises me. You can do what you, all those impressions, you get them immediately. You can tell this one has animosity towards me. The more closer you get, you know it. And I'm not talking about me, I'm talking about you. You understand, eh? You can only try to say, no, but I think I'm just judging them. But the truth is, you know. And that impression you get is the truth. The difference is that me, because I've tried to argue with it and I found it was the truth, now I know it's the truth. So I come with it, I know. So I just knew what all these people had been saying. And I looked at them and said, okay, end of story, I have no time for them. So I said, I left them there arguing. I just moved, went and got into my car. And left and came back to town. So who also present truth? Okay. Who also declared to us your love in the Spirit? For this reason, we also. Now, after he has built up all that thing, faith, hope, love in the Spirit, he says, for this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now, he's saying, I understood that now you have reached a certain level of spiritual development. This is your maturity level. Now, when I heard that, then I said, the next thing you need to know is to know the will of God for your life. You, do you understand? Eh? In what? In all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Go ahead. That you may walk worthy of the Lord. Now, he gives five things here which happen when you learn the will of God, you know, in your life. Praise the Lord. Now, walking worthy of the Lord means, because I can tell you, I was talking to some lady who is a musician, and she's really good. And she just met me somewhere, and I told her, do you know that you are operating at less than 30% of your potential? And I told her, if you even go to 50, this whole continent would know you. I said, if you go to 80, the world would know you. But somebody has settled for so little, and I when you tell them that, they are jacked a bit, but then they, for the most part, they go back. Eh? Because when it comes to actual decision making, and making decisions where you say, okay, if I'm doing, I'm going to do what it takes and then move out. That's where people have problems. They don't have problems receiving, telling you what, and tell them, you tell them, you know, you're so good, you're talented, you're this. They say, then they stop there. And somehow when it comes to the point where they should put, when you get to that place where you need to remind yourself, that I am supposed to be all this, then somehow you second guess yourself and get out of that. So, anyhow, now, that person is not walking worthy of the Lord. You understand? Because she has not reached the level of worth that God has created her to have. And she's not like even close. And I could tell it, and when I said it, she agreed with me 100%. Because deep down you know that your level, you understand? You know, you can pretend, but you know. And this is not just even spiritual things. In everywhere, people know. They know. You go among footballers and they will tell you that guy is better than me, and they know. But when they're arguing, they might think that what? They will present themselves as better, but deep down they know the truth is, I'm not as good as that guy. So he knows that if the other guy is selected ahead of him, he knows justice has been done. Although he wants to play ahead, but he knows the guy is better than me. Now, even in these things, you know what your worth is in the spirit. And what God has called you to do. But you can decide to be comfortable and undercut yourself, and you know, you do not think of yourself as being that great, because you look at the people who are there and they somehow seem to be so detached from you. But a part of you tells you that I'm supposed to be higher than that. But anyhow, okay. Fully pleasing him, walking worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him. Okay. Now being fruitful in every good work. You see, being fruitful in every good work. Now, the thing is, good work which is done outside of the will of God does not produce fruitfulness. And I'm talking about will of God for your life. It does not produce fruitfulness. Somehow when it is like, the fruit becomes so easy when you walk in your line, in what you were called to do. And somehow find, and the exact thing that you were called to do. And now it's as easy as it. And people ask me now, I want to know my purpose, I want to know my purpose. Like, just ask God. Let me tell you, there is nobody who asks God sincerely and does not get an answer. There is not one person of his children. He will. No, I told you before, no matter how immature you are, he will come down to your level and communicate to you at a level you can understand. Do you understand? Either through a dream, or he will find somebody who just come and start talking to you and tell you all the answers you wanted. Just like that. And you recognize this is God. Or some way or the other. But he will find a way. Because he wants to direct you. Do you understand? No matter, even if you will not interpret dreams, he will make it as simple as possible. Just like your child will ask you something, and you look at their age, and say he can only understand up to this level. But you still communicate. True? Yes. So even God will communicate. So, there is nobody who is going to ask him his purpose and he fails. None, not one. Okay. Fully pleasing him and being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now all these others, increasing in the knowledge of God. Now let me tell you, you only increase in the knowledge of God when you are where you are called to be. When you are called, let's say somebody is called in the ministry of healing and has a healing, you know, healing anointing. When you start praying for people is when your knowledge of God, who are sick, is when your knowledge of God increases. Like somehow, it will not increase when you're doing something else. But when you enter into your field and start operating there and say that, you know, and I've met people like that, and then they come and say, but how come some don't get healed? I told them that apart from Jesus, I don't know of anybody who prayed for everybody and they got healed. But if you pray for 10 people and one gets healed, that's one person who would not be healed and who is healed. Amen? Of course, the devil will tell you that's 9 who are not healed. But you say, yeah, but one was healed. I didn't make them sick, but through me the Lord has made them what? Healed. Eh? I'm not the one who made them sick. So if they don't get healed, well, I hope they do. But I tried. I did what I know. You understand? Now, There is no evangelist who will not grow in the knowledge of God unless they are preaching the gospel. You understand? If you're going to be, once you step there, and start, somehow your knowledge of God increases when you're doing exactly what God called you to do. Now, if you're not supposed to be there, you actually feel like he's becoming distant and distant and distant and distant, and strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. Strengthened with all the anointing, with all the enablement, supernatural, to do that thing for which you are called. Praise the Lord. Now, you see, when God calls you to do, there's something, doing something under the grace. Eh? And by the way, now, for instance, and people think that because you have a certain level of spirituality, you are good at everything. There is nobody who is good at everything. Not one. God never made it like that. Paul compares it to the body. Eh? The leg can do all it can, but you will never see as good as the eye, or even at all. Like God, that's how it is, the body of Christ. Eh? And it's not all these things were designed by God. There is one which is supposed to do the other. And then it interprets that. Now, you have to find strengthened with all might, according to his for all patience and long suffering with joy. Now, here is where the issue comes. When people are in the will of God, they naturally have patience. Patience is natural. When people are in a hurry all the time and, you know, in a state of emergency all the time, then they do not know the will of God. They are guessing. You understand? When you know, and you know I'm here by the will of God, no matter how long that miracle takes, you are comfortable. Praise the Lord. And by the way, let me tell you, the thing people have to understand is that if you ever find yourself in a place of emergency, you know that you have missed God. If you ever find yourself in a place of emergency, know that you have missed God. God does not deal with emergencies. He does not have any emergency in his life. He knew the end of the world before he even made it. How can you put such a man on Bunkenke? Such a person on Bunkenke? He has no Bunkenke. You cannot. Now, you see, and some of the things he does are even weird. Now, I was reading the children of Israel. He takes them to the Red Sea. Then, they see the armies of Egypt coming. And they are crying. And God says, camp here for the night. Like what kind of person is that? Like, you know, they say, now the Egyptians are coming. Say, now, you're going to camp here for the... Then the Lord told Moses, you're going to camp here for the night and sleep here. And then in the morning, we'll see what to do. But the armies are coming. Eh? Like you can never, and now you see people miss these things in normal life. So somebody comes, and I've had this all the time. And one time somebody called me and told me that, and the Lord has somehow got a new past this before. But now you have to learn how to be like him, how to be still and see his solutions. Okay? Now, by the morning, even Moses was crying. Then God says, no, not crying really, but he said, why are you looking at me? Just stretch your stick to the sea and it will part. You see, even Moses, somehow when the emergency is serious, even Moses now, then God says, why are you looking at me? Now, some of you, they are chasing me rent, they are what, this, what. God said, why are you looking at me? There is something you have in your hands which can make everything. Or you can just learn how to be like calm. Come, be still and know that I'm God. That is the place of miracles. That's the place of miracles. Now, I remember some guy came to, and by the way, let me tell you, if you really want to be in a place of miracles, you have to learn how to get past the Bunkenke. And never let anything put you under that kind of pressure. Because that place is where there are zero miracles. On Bunkenke, zero miracles. Bunkenke means what in English? Eh? State of emergency. So, like, in that once, now let me tell you, now you see the devil knows that, eh? So he will rack up the pressure, use your granddad, call you, we're going to what? And he's just trying to rack up because he knows once you start dancing to the pressure, then zero miracles. You cannot have a miracle in that place. Now you have, and so somebody one day can. They are going to chase me out. What, you know, give me this amount of money. What, they are going to what? I said, man, give me 1,000,000 shillings. Otherwise, man, I'm going to be what? I'm going to be. And I knew. And you see, for a moment, you can almost be tempted to get in the Bunkenke. with them. Because those people are very good at, you know, spreading their gospel. Have you ever seen a Wunkenke person? Like, they do not let you, when you're calm, they actually mistake you being calm for being either you don't care or what. You understand? Somebody comes and tells you somebody is sick, is whatever, and then you look at them and you're so unmoved, and they think you don't care. But you see, if I also started dancing on the Wunkenke, then I can no longer be a solution. You understand? Somebody in the room has to be calm. And I know be still and know that I am God. That is where you know that God is God. You understand? Now, so a person, I thought, no, if this person doesn't get this money, he will not die. So let him calm down. So I refused. I said, no, I'm not in position to give you. You see, that's a very political answer. So I said, I'm not in position. That, make of that what you will. But ultimately, you don't have the money for me. Then, the next day, the person comes and say, what happened? I said, no. Somehow the problem solved itself. Do you understand? Now, but after you've exhausted all solutions. Now, why does... you imagine, people tell you, now you spend the night here. But the Egyptians, you sleep here. In the morning, we are going to see what to do. Like the man, the person, God, who created, who knew the end of the earth before the beginning. If you want, you miss him, you're in a different wavelength when you go on Wunkenke. Do you understand? Now, and the reason I'm saying this is because I know there are so many people who are like that, and they somehow think that something is going to happen because of Wunkenke. John 14:1, Jesus said, he says, let not your hearts be troubled. Now, he says in another translation, do not let your heart be troubled. Why is that? Because the heart always wants to be troubled. That's the default position. When somebody calls you and tells you that something is, you know, boiling, somehow your heart wants to go that direction. True? But he says, do not allow it to go in that direction. Praise the Lord. I was listening to a story of, I'm sure you've heard of it, of Andrew Womack. When they called him and told him his teenage son was dead. Was dead. So, when he received the news, he was, I think, at his home. I think he comes from Colorado Springs or something like that. So he had to drive a distance to go to where the boy was. And his brother is the one who called him, told him the brother was dead. So, we received the news and he just, like, Charles, almost no emotion. Then he got into the car and went praising God. Just praising the Lord, praising the Lord, praising the Lord. And just that. And he praised the Lord and he praised the Lord. And he was going to the place where his son was in the morgue, in the mortuary. And he's praising the Lord. So he comes, he gets to that place. And he finds the boy sitting up and awake. And they tell him he was properly dead. They had even tagged his body. You know those things they put on the toe? On the big toe. They had even tagged the body and taken into the morgue. And he had even turned black. He was dead, dead. Now, if he had let his heart be troubled, the boy would be dead. As it is, the boy is alive. Okay? He just, now, okay. If you're not at that level, maybe God will not give you that test. But, because those who have children know how that can be, when they a man. But the man just said that he refused to let it. Do not let your heart be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Now, when you get in a sense of, like, do not let your heart, don't allow it. It wants to go there. That's the default position. Don't allow it. Now, do you think it's easy for somebody to be praising God when his son is dead? It's not easy for anybody. But somebody just knows, no, do not let your heart be troubled. So he starts praising God. So he's driving. What, you know, great is thy faithfulness. What, you know, another thing can carry you away. There is nothing like the sacrifice of praise. Because sacrifice of praise is praising when you don't have any. If you got a powerful deal which is going to make you a very big person, and you praise, that is not sacrifice. Okay? But it's good to praise. But when you get bad news and you're praising, that is the sacrifice of praise. Because sacrifice is something which you give when you don't want. Now, and it is very powerful, very, very, very powerful, because it beats every system of the devil. How can you be praising God when your son has died? Like, what kind of fool are you? Now, then the boy comes, They are there. The guy is in the morgue. He just sits up. And he was properly dead with even stories from the other world. Now they even tagged the toe. Put a what? You know when you've become an item. You're no longer a person. Huh? Okay. Not let your heart be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Now, you know, there's a story of which interests me, of the widow. The widow whom Elisha, whose son Elisha, let me look for that story because there's something there which, it's in 2 Kings. Okay, chapter 4, verse 8. It happened one day that Elisha went to Shunem, and there was a notable woman, and she persuaded him to eat food, so it was as often he passed by, he would return in there to eat some food. Okay? And she said to her husband, "Look now, I know that it is that this is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly. Please let us make a small upper room on the wall, and let us put a bed for him there, and a table, and a chair, and a lampstand. So it will be whenever he comes to us, he can turn in there." And it happened. Now you imagine this woman. She gave the man food once, and the man started coming all the time for food. And now so many people would say, "But this guy." But she says, "Now let's build for him a room." You see, some people are blessed because they have a certain attitude. She said, I perceive this is a man of God. Okay? I perceive this is a man of God. So let's not stop at just giving him food. Let's give him a place to stay. Now, if you have an attitude like that, you can't fail to be blessed. And it happened one day that he came there and he turned into the upper room and lay down there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, "Call this Shunammite woman." When he had called her, she stood before him. And he said to her, "Say now to her, 'Look, you have been concerned for us with all this care. What can I do for you?'" Okay? Okay, let's move ahead because that's a very long story. And, okay, go to verse 18. And the child grew, and it happened one day that he went out to his father, to the reapers. And he said to his father, "My head, my head." So he said to a servant, "Carry him to his mother." When he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon, and then he died. Go ahead. And she went up and laid on him on the bed of the man of God, shut the door upon him, and went out. Now here is how people who are going to get miracles behave. Because the minute you broadcast that bad news, but now that's the end. You've sealed it. For her, she did not tell anybody. She went, and it's the same thing as an remark. You don't start broadcasting. Then you call your friend. Then you go and start raising. You're not going to raise him when you've already broadcast all that. Because you're actually now entrenching it with your own words. Now this woman just shut up, went, took the body to the Elisha's room, shut him there and went out. Okay? And she called to her husband and said, "Please send me one of the young men and one of the donkeys that I may run to the man of God and come back." So he said, "Why are you going to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath." And she said, what? Can you imagine? Now, this is somebody who has refused to believe the bad news. Why are you going to see them? "It is well. It's well. It's okay. Things are fine." But that's not realistic. You be with your realism and go and bury your son. Okay? But this person has refused, has taken in a different reality. Now, these are the kind of people who are not taken in by emergency. You imagine. So she says, okay. So she tells the husband, "It is well." Go to the next verse. Then she saddled the donkey and said to her husband, "Drive and go forward. Do not slacken the pace for me unless I tell you." Okay? And so she departed and went to the man of God at Mount Carmel. So it was when the man of God saw her afar off that he said to his servant Gehazi, "Look, the Shunammite woman, please run to meet her and say to her, 'Is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with your child?'" And she answered and said, what? Okay. Now when she came to the man of God, now that's where you say, you don't say, don't tell servants, you don't tell who, You go to the man of God, where that's where you have to report the real thing now. When she came to the man of God at the hill, she caught him by the feet, but Gehazi came near to push her away. Now you see this man does not even, he's not in the spirit. You understand? Now there are people who, why would he come to push her away? Here is a woman in whose house the prophet stays. You understand? And Gehazi stays there as well. Now she's coming and he's pushing her away. But the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is in deep distress, and the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me. So she said, did I ask a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? Then he said to Gehazi, get yourself ready and take my staff in your hand and be on your way. If you meet anyone, do not greet him. And if anyone greets you, do not answer him, but lay my staff on the face of the child. And the mother of the child says, as the Lord lives, and as how can the man who has been chasing you away be the one who is carrying your miracle? She said, I think I know better than this. As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So he arose and followed her. She said, I want Elisha himself. You come. Now Gehazi went on ahead of them and laid the staff on the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. She knew this guy is fake. No wonder, like, he eventually took money, and even got leprosy. This woman was in the spirit. She said, ah, this guy, even if he is moving with the man of God, he's fake. Now imagine she goes back with him, then the child, then she comes back again on the donkey. So she said, no, let's go. So, praise the Lord. You know how that story ended. But, do you see how people can get miracles and some people can miss miracles? There's a story of, it's in Mark, Jesus telling his disciples, cross the river and I'll meet you the other side. Then he goes somewhere to pray. You know the story. Then there is a big wind and there is a storm and the boat is shaken and the disciples are scared. They are so scared that even when Jesus comes walking, they think he's a ghost. And this is not the Jesus of after resurrection. This is the Jesus of before resurrection, whom they know. Now, when you are in the state of panic, you will not see God. I'm telling you that. Try to calm yourself down. In every situation, just try it and say, no, I'll calm myself down. They have given me a termination letter. They have given me a sickness report or something. Just calm down. By the way, that is the most important moment of all that. When they tell you, as you've been diagnosed with this, then you just say no, then you calm down. And then from a position of calm, you make up your mind and you say, no, that is not me. I believe in a God who heals. Then you start praising God. And then you see it, the miracle becomes so easy. Now every time you stamp on it, rubber stamp on it, say, what? Okay. So now what should I do? How many months am I left to live? What? Now you are giving it rubber stamp. That moment when you get bad news is the most key moment in all that, because you can change everything. This woman had child has died. She put him in the, even husband, she refused to tell him. Even Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, she refused. She only went to the man of God and told him. And eventually, you know what happened. Now, so these people are in the sea. Then Jesus comes walking. And the Bible says he could have passed them by. That thing messed me up. He could have passed them by. Can you imagine? He's the one who sent them there. Now the sea is raging. And then he comes walking and then wants to pass them. And say, those are yours. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening had come, he was there alone. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, remember he sent them there in the evening. In the evening. Fourth watch of the night is from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. So imagine they have been tossing, toiling with the waves which are contrary to them from evening up to 3 a.m. Evening up to 3 a.m. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost. And they cried out for fear. There is this one I wanted, the one from Mark. But okay, let's leave this one. First leave this one. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. Now, but there is one, the one in Mark, where it says he came walking and he could have passed them by. Immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he sent them out to away. Okay? And when he sent them away, you go where it says, because it's the same part until there. Go to, when he saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. Now about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea and would have passed them by. And he would have passed them by. Can you imagine? They have been tossed. Now, here, by the way, let me tell you, here is in the lesson. The miracle will pass you by when you're toiling, and you will not even see God. You'll see a ghost when God has presented himself to you as what? For a solution. And you're seeing a ghost. And it happens all the time. All the time. And then somebody, even when they see God one time, the next time they have a similar scenario, they want to go back to where they were. Like, that is refusing to mature. Praise the Lord. Remember my story which I told you about rent? If I had gone back there and I'm still struggling for rent, that is refusing to mature. But once I got that miracle, now I know how it works. Do you understand? And I will never go back to that thing again. I matured from that level to the next. Now you can get the miracle, and still you need a miracle again and again and again, and you're like a child. And you're like the children of Israel. You, mama, 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 mama. Remember they told Moses at the Red Sea, didn't tell you to leave us alone. Now, and there are graves in Egypt that you bring us to die from here. And what? Didn't they get angry? Did God get angry? No. Because they are children. They have been in slavery for 400 years. So if he doesn't get angry, he just parts the Red Sea. Then they meet him, something, another challenge. They grumble, no problem. Then they grumble, no problem. Then they grumble, no problem. Because they are children. Then after some time, they think that's going to be the encoder. Then they miss present truth. Then they grumble, then he says, okay, now you die in the desert. Then he says, 10 times you've rejected me. Now rejecting God means, if he has done a miracle for you, don't cry again. He has done it again. Just like, why are you crying again? That is rejecting God. If he has done a miracle for your situation, for your emergency, and you've seen something, where you know God did something, never allow yourself to go back there. That is now going, that's like the children of Israel. They cried at the parting of the Red Sea. God did not care. He did not care 9 times. The 10th, he says, no. Katinkoye. By now you should have known that I can do anything, and you don't have to grumble. You can just ask me and it is done. Praise the Lord. You can just believe me. I mean, how much more must you see to believe me? So someone said, but these people had unbelief. Can you imagine, you've seen the Red Sea part and you're what? Do you know that's how so many of us are? Or it might not be the Red Sea, but it is something which you've seen and you know this was God. Somebody called you who had rejected you and what? Then they call you, then you see, then you say, this is God. Now, the next time you have a challenge, you're crying again. Now, Jesus says to them, about the fourth watch, he came to them walking on the sea, and he would have passed them by. Go ahead. And when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost, and they cried out. Now, no more crying out. Praise the Lord. We are supposed to be teaching you. No more crying out. We have seen the salvation of God, each and every one of us, at an individual level, no matter how small. Okay? Now, when you cry out, he passes you by. But you see, he gave them a solution. And he said, for they all saw him and were troubled. Now, do not let your hearts be what? Yes. Now, when you're troubled, that's how now you descend. It's very easy to descend. Now, do not think that there are no moments when somehow it feels that way. I remember at the beginning of last year, I think we got into debt of about 50 million, and they were even threatening not to do what? Not to allow us to come and fellowship here. So Claire told me, man, you know what? And you know, like, I really cannot be moved by something like that. I'm being honest with you. I cannot. Because if I'm doing the work of God and God called me, let God pay his bills. Do I come here to chill and drink cappuccino? No. Let the person who enlisted me pay his bills. Amen. Amen? And by the way, he said that's not me. That is him. Some people are in ministry and they don't even know how to let God take care of them. And I was like that. When I started my radio show, let me tell you this. I had no car. I was in a tough place financially. But I had partners who would give me money, and it came up to, I would pay 600, came up to like 400. I mean, I came up to like 1 million. So there was an extra 400, which I did not touch. This is partner's money, so I had to account for it. So even when I would jump on a border, I say, I used 5K, so now it's 6,000, 5K. Then what? Then I'm keeping money there. I don't even have money to eat. And I'm keeping money, but because it's for ministry. Until God opened my eyes and said, no, You are the ministry. There is no watchman without Joseph Kabuleta. You understand? Now, am I the one who says that? No, it's God who says it. God is more interested in the person than he is in the systems. These lights and what screens and what are here because of me. Because God called, you understand? Now, every system that God puts, it's for a person. God calls a person. Like even when he calls you to lead a business, to do what? You are the cardinal person whom he deals with. You are the man. So God, does God deal with systems? He deals with a human being. So he taught me that it is you are more important than the ministry. Because without the watchman ministries, Kabuleta would be here. But there would be no watchman ministries without who? Eh? Some of you are offended by that, but it's the truth. It will not be there. And this is not my reasoning. This is God's reasoning. Not mine. Praise the Lord. Now, if you are in ministry and people give you money for ministry, feel at liberty to eat it. Eh? Feel at liberty to eat the money and lavish good things on you. Now, let me tell you, if I had a landlord on my case and I had no fuel in my car and I hadn't paid my children's school fees and what? You think I would be here preaching? I would be with a heavy heart. You understand? Eh? The reason I come and preach and even crack jokes and what? And by the way, if I come with a heavy heart, you receive nothing. So, like, there are certain, you know, people deceive themselves. There's a lot of deceiving. Now, somebody came and told me she has a nursery school, a daycare, where she teaches children about what she wanted to introduce, about what curriculum, what. But she's charging the parents over 400,000 a month. Manya, a term. And she's spending all the money in providing good care for the children. And she told me now, I'm scared to increase, although I'm making zero profit. I told her there is nobody who makes a business and does not make profit, and a business, you will start becoming bitter with those children. Imagine you've been giving all your to children and the landlord is on your case. You will find a place to vent your bitterness. Somehow. That's why people are bitter at God. They think he's stopping them from doing what? From having a good time. And he cannot. You are the most important part. Like you are a part of him. You understand? All of us came out of him. So you think he cares about anything else apart from man? Now, you see what Paul says about that. So how do you people get out of religion? Because, praise the Lord. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. Whoever goes to war at his own expense. Have you ever seen a soldier worrying about where he's going to get bullets? Or a gun? That is not his business. His business is to fire the gun. So it's not my business where to get money to pay for this ground and what? No. Mine is to preach. Do you understand? I do not go to war at my own expense. And the person, and now the soldier, having gotten free uniforms, free food, free gun, free bullets, do they pay him? Do they pay him? So does God. Having paid for all these things, then he also pays me money for preaching. And I go and drink cappuccino. Are these my what? No. Now, if you are in ministry, learn how to... Whoever goes to war at his own expense. Who plants a vineyard and does not eat of its fruit? Who tends a flock and does not drink of the milk of the flock? Have you ever seen a mularo drinking chai mukadu? How can you look after cows and you drink dry tea? Eh? Okay. dry tea. Don't try to be sophisticated. Praise the Lord. Now, why? Because he looks after the cows. He has to enjoy their milk. Now, go ahead and see what he says. Do I say these things as a mere man? Or does not the law say the same also? Okay? For it is written in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain. Now, even an ox, when it is in the field of grain and it is plowing, God says, do not cover its mouth. Let it eat the grain. Why do you use it for plowing without making it eat some of the grain? Now, even oxen, God says, are you unfair if you want the, you know, the muzzling, is putting that thing so that it can't eat. Now, so the oxen is plowing the fruit and it is seeing edible things, but it can't eat because it's plowing. And that's unfair. Even to oxen. Then he says, is it oxen God is concerned about? Then he goes on to say, or does he say it all together for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt. Okay? It is written that he who plows should plow in hope. Okay? And he who threshes in hope should be a partaker of his hope. Okay? Verse 11. If I have sown spiritual things for you, is it a great thing if we reap our material things? Is it a great thing if we reap your material things? Now, here is the thing. I'm there keeping money for radio and what? But I'm ministering to people on radio and they are giving money. Now, I'm giving them something powerful. Okay? I was teaching them powerful end time mysteries. Now, the scripture says, is it a big thing if they give me money and I also eat? Do you understand? You see, that is, by the now, it's a very demonic spirit when people get angry about men of God eating. Because how can I give of? Even if I went to where I used to work in a newspaper, I would write and they would pay me for what I've written. You understand? So is God such a terrible person that he employs people and wants them to starve? If we have sown spiritual things, is it such a great, go to verse 12. Okay, go to verse 14. Move to verse 14. Verse 13. Do you not know that those who minister the holy things eat of the things of the temple? The meat is given to God. But it is the priests who eat the meat. God does not eat meat. God does not drink cappuccino. Like, okay, there are certain things. Now, somebody said, no. We are not giving. We are giving to God. You go into heaven and give it to him. Go and find him and give him your money. Praise the Lord. You see, there are certain, and that cursed spirit seeps into the church and people start, now we want what? You see? Even Protestants now, the other day, Bishop was saying, people, but don't ask for accountability for your money. If you want accountability for your money which you've given me, go to Java's, everywhere they sell coffee, where they sell good coffee. And ask them, how many times has the watchman come here? And what has he eaten? That's your accountability. Do you not know that those who minister the holy things eat of the things of the temple? And those who serve at the altar partake of the offerings of the altar? Even so, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live from what? Even so, the Lord has what? Has he suggested? He has commanded. Just like he commanded love one another, he has also commanded those who preach the gospel. So if I don't eat your money, I am disobeying the commandments of the Lord. And I will be judged. Praise the Lord. Am I the one who wrote those things? Yeah, that is the truth. By the way, let me tell you, that is the truth. And now here is the thing. Here is the thing. So people's lives can change when they desire to see the man of God being well. You understand? Now, with my 400,000, which was left from the partner's money, do you know what I started doing? I started eating it. Do you know what happened? It increased. When I was not eating it, it was stagnant. And I was there suffering, yet I have money. That this money is for ministry. Those days I didn't have administrator. I was the administrator. I was the Kamarabion now. Even the mobile money number, it would come to me. I'm the one who knew the pin. Now I don't even know the pin. Now, those days, I was the one who knew the pin. So the money comes, chichi, then you don't even have. And you know, it was like, you know, I would even get, you know, these small sackets of Nescafe? The small ones. And I cannot afford a big, a tin. So I get a, so I say, go to the shop and say, bring a sacket of Nescafe. But I have money at home. Now, the minute God removed the religion from me and said, the ministry, you are the ministry. Praise the Lord. Now, all of you, God has called you to do something. And he's dealing with you. He's not dealing with systems. The systems of the world are of the world. God deals with people. You know, we have created a system of accountability and what? Who told you kings have systems? Now, even you see even kings. When they are collecting money for Dofad, does anybody go and ask the king where is the money? No. If you don't want to give, leave. If you give, shut up. A man came and said that want accountability. They embarrassed him. You know, they embarrassed him. And remember, he was the former prime minister. He said, and the man was asking a legitimate question. A legitimate question. You've been collecting money for two. How much have you collected? How much do you still have? Well, he had given over 2 million. Now, on a function where he was the guest of honor, some guy came. 2 million shillings. I think in like 20 notes. Sentences. See you through. Man, they embarrass the man for asking for accountability. Can you imagine a prime minister, not a particular prime minister, they came and threw money in front of him there. Zew. There's your money if you don't. What are you going to do? Don't start asking for what? For accountability. Praise the Lord. Now, even the systems of this world, God is not a president. And he does not have a parliament and a public accounts committee. He does not. He's a king. A king does what he wants because he's a king. Everything belongs to him. Actually, everyone belongs to him in the true sense of a king. Okay, praise the Lord. But here is the thing. Do not ever let yourself get into emergency. Do not. Understand that when there is an emergency, God is setting you up for a big miracle. And if you set yourself properly, do you know the Bible says that no temptation befalls us unless one that God has adjudged that we are able to handle? Okay? Now, if you're not at the level of being calm when your son has died, he will not die. But when God saw that Andromach is at that level, he just sets you up to have a testimony. So it was all a setup to steal the show. So he says, now I know this guy will know how to handle it. The Bible says he will not allow a temptation to come to you unless he has adjudged you to be capable of handling it. So if it comes and you're in panic, God is looking at you and says, you can handle. If I knew you wouldn't handle, I would not have allowed it. There are so many temptations of the devil which God can never allow to come to you because he knows they will hammer you. So he will never allow the devil to tempt you. But he waits for you to grow, then he gives you a temptation just to show you what you are capable of. You understand? So the day something bad happens and you overturn it, then you swell. And you know, now I'm this. And God was setting you up for that. He brought it just to show that you're something. To stamp a seal on your faith. And then I've had this. Then praise the Lord. So if you are in a state of emergency, you missed God somewhere. Now, the best place to be is just calm down. There are people who cannot calm down. But there's some guy who is, I always try to calm down, calm down. Like the guy is always bubbling. Okay, on things he wants to do. Powerful things which the Lord has shown him he wants to do and which he's going to do. But he can never come bring himself to a place of calm. Never. He's always, then I look at him, he talks. Then I say, now calm down. Then I say, how is your financial situation? He says, I'm okay. He says, I have enough food, I have everything, I have fuel in the car, I have rent. I say, now that you have everything, why don't you just drive to Entebbe and go to some beach somewhere and spend the day just praising God, praying in tongues, and doing whatever it is that makes you happy. Now, do you know how many powerful things happen in that position? When you just, like you have a free day, and the devil wants to give you something to occupy you, and you say, no. Today, let me just go to Entebbe. Or I'm giving an example, you understand? Because for me, I like water. And then go somewhere on a beach, which is quiet, sit, sometimes I don't trust the service. I will go out and get my cappuccino, take away, and go there. And sit and pray in tongues the whole day and chill and just relax and just thank God for being so good. My rent is taken care of, my what, everything, man. I'm just here on a chill. So then I'm listening to, listening to some good music or sometimes listening to the Bible, audio Bible. Then I'm praying in tongues, what? And sometimes stay there up to 1 a.m., then drive back in a Mercedes. Do you understand? Now, here is my point. I hope you understand my point. Like, what is there to be? What? Life is good. Godliness with contentment is great gain. I am contented with what I have. Now, I will gain more. You understand? By not being on, just thanking God. I have clothes on me. I have a roof over me. I have eaten. I'm satisfied. I am what? Everything is good. I have a boyfriend. I have a girlfriend. They love me. We are getting married this year. 5 years ago, you'd pray for those things. Now God has given them to you. You're still on wunkenk. Just thank him. Be thankful. Relax. Go somewhere and say, God, man, I thank you. This life I'm living now, I didn't think I would live it. Now I thank you even because better things are coming. Now that house I'm renting, I want to buy it. Do you know you can get all those miracles from a place of thankfulness? I thank you. I thank you, Lord. Now, that's where the children of Israel died in the wilderness. And don't die in your wilderness. Thank you so much. Thank you because you parted the Red Sea. When we didn't have water, you gave us water. When you did what? You gave us this. We wanted meat, you gave us meat. Now we thank you, Lord, because now you're taking us to the promised land because you have promised us. And you're a faithful God. You can never, you know, not fulfill your promise. And what? And you just speak wonderful words like that and your soul will be uplifted. You live there feeling like a giant. Like that car house, you are going to buy it tomorrow. And you stay in that place of faith and see if the harvest is not going to be great. Praise the Lord. I'm giving you this moment to get into a place of thankfulness to God. And think about the wonderful things that He has done for you already. And just say, God, I thank you because, you know, the other day I was in trouble. I came out of it. The other day they almost arrested me. They didn't. The other day they did what? I almost got this. I almost this. Like, there is every reason for you to praise the Lord. Because He has been there. He has been there and He's never going to stop being there. So just get your place, yourself in that thankfulness place. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. Because you have done wonderful things for us. I thank you, Heavenly Father, because we are your children and you watch over us. You will never stop watching over us because we belong to you. We are your children. We are your beloved children. We are accepted among the beloved. I thank you, Heavenly Father, because there is no situation that overtakes us, Father, and you're not there to help us overcome it. And we thank you that even things that present themselves as emergencies are just a setup for something powerful to happen in our lives. Now, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Father, because we shall not be taken up and get anxious and let our hearts be troubled when actually that thing that is in front of us is nothing more than you setting us up for a powerful miracle and a powerful testimony. Because now our lives are a miracle and we live a miraculous life and we are grounded in the present truth and we know, Heavenly Father, that we are grounded in this present truth, that you are with us, we do your will, we pursue your will, we pursue your purpose, and we transform this world for your good. Now I thank you, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, because this truth is settled in us. Now I pray for each and everyone who connects here this day with what's happening. In the name of Jesus, I pray, Father, that you bless them. Bless them. I pray for a harvest, because this is the year of harvest. I pray for a harvest that comes speedily and is not delayed. In the name of Jesus, for a speedy harvest, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
That was The Watchman. Do not miss our Friday fellowship, 6 p.m. at Uma Upper Gardens, Nakawa. For previous recordings, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. You can follow us on Facebook, The Watchman. Our Twitter handle is at ugwatchman. Instagram, the_watchman256. For inquiries, please contact us via email, info@ugwatchman.com. You can as well call us on +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. The Watchman, the King is coming.